You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Unexpectedly heartfelt ukulele performance there from Iceland.
It's Eurovision on 95BFM with our European correspondent, Cameron Adams.
On this week's installation of Eurovision, Anika chats with our European correspondent, Cameron Adams, about Ukraine, as well as the upcoming Italian and British elections. Here's that chat now.
To start off today, would you be able to give us a little bit of an update on what's been happening in Ukraine?
Yeah, most significantly, an agreement on the grain exports from Ukraine have been announced. So over 20 million tons of grain have been stuck in Ukraine since the start of the war, risking significant food shortages for developing countries. Ukraine and Russia made an agreement in Istanbul on Friday, stating that cargo ships carrying grain from the Black Sea will not be military targets. Turkey and the UN will act as co-guarantors for the deal. Immediately after the deal was announced, however, Russia struck port facilities in Odessa, claiming that they were military targets, which caused doubts on the deal's efficacy. However, it does look like this deal will go through, with exports from smaller ports in southern Ukraine expected to happen later this week. HIMARS are reported to be making an impact, leveling the playing field against Russia, with four more confirmed to be on their way from the United States, bringing the total up to 20. HIMARS, this is the multiple kind of rocket launcher system, have been claiming to strike Russian ammunition depots across the occupied regions, and are claimed to be much harder to shoot down by Russian air defense. Ukraine is also claiming of wanting to begin counterattacks in the Kherson region in September, with the aid of Western arms and increasing partisan attacks.
Now, recently we've seen that the EU have announced an agreement on gas reductions this coming winter. Can you tell us what's been discussed there?
Yeah, today the EU announced an agreement on voluntary gas reductions this coming winter. So we spoke last week about growing alarm in the EU if Russia were to stop its gas exports, which would have a significant shock on some member states. Last Thursday, the main gas pipeline from Russia, Nord Stream 1, did come back online after scheduled maintenance, however, with a reduced load of 40%. There were doubts if it were to come back online, with Russia claiming a turbine being held in Canada was needed. This has since been delivered. However, yesterday, the Russian energy giant Gazprom announced they will only export at 20% capacity after stating there's additional risks to a claim that the German supplier Siemens denies. While this parley was going on, EU member states were having their own debates on how to manage its gas supplies, with an emergency summit being held today. So what's in the deal? It's a voluntary 15% reduction in gas usage by member states from August to March. If Russian gas imports were to stop completely, countries could declare national emergencies, which would make reductions mandatory. This is after member states rejected a proposal that the European Commission could itself declare an emergency. The deal has quite a few opt-outs, though. Ireland, Cyprus, and Malta are excluded, since they're not connected to the main European gas network. The Baltic states, whose power supplies are interconnected with Russia, would be exempt if Russia were to disconnect the grid. There are also exceptions for other member states for electricity generation in case of temporary power usage. This is after concerns from Spain about droughts affecting its hydroelectric power supplies. Countries can also ask for an exemption for critical industries, which are heavily dependent on gas. This was brought in as a way to try and lower the economic cost of the reductions. Member states who exceed 80% of storage and are able to export to other members can also ask for a reduction. Hungary was the only member to vote against the proposal, and it's unclear whether Viktor Orban will enact any gas reductions. So yeah, even though it's not a unanimous reduction, it is a win for the EU. I mean, getting any kind of agreement on gas reductions at the start of the war would have been impossible. However, as the winter approaches, time will tell if countries are able to stick to the agreement.
Now, we have seen snap elections being announced in Italy. How did this happen?
Yeah, so snap elections will be held on September 25. This is after Prime Minister Mario Draghi resigned last week. It's quite a fall for him, who only weeks ago appeared in Kiev along with Olaf Scholz and Emmanuel Macron in a show of European support for Ukraine. Draghi was initially appointed to office in February 2021, with a national unity government consisting of various political parties on both the left and right. It was hoped the former European Central Bank president would help lead Italy out of COVID, as well as high national debt. His leadership was seen as a rare period of stability, as opposed to Italy's usual political rockiness. Early this month, Draghi tried passing a 26 billion euro support package for Italians hit by high inflation and living costs. The populist Five Star Movement opposed this package, claiming it didn't go far enough and withdrew its support for the coalition. That gave the right wing of the coalition the opportunity to pounce. Former scandal-ridden Prime Minister Silvio Berlusconi, who leads the centre-right Forza Italia, teamed up with Mario Silvani of the far-right League Party to also withdraw from the coalition and refuse to back him in a no-confidence vote.
So who would you say is likely to win this election?
Italy could well be on its way to being run by the far-right. Giorgia Meloni, leader of the far-right Brothers of Italy party, is leading the polls at around 24%. This is along with the far-right League, who are polling at 14%, and centre-right Forza Italia at 7%. The only chance for the left would be an alliance between the centre-left Democratic Party, which is around 22%, and the populist Five Star Movement around 10%. However, no agreement has yet been made. If the far-right bloc does win, the first female prime minister for Italy could well be a post-fascist, a claim that Meloni denies. Her party, the Brothers of Italy, was formed in 2012 by former members of the National Alliance. This was the party that succeeded from the Italian Social Movement, which was formed by Mussolini supporters immediately after World War II. Her policies include a hard line on immigration. She wants to block Italian imports from asylum seekers. She also opposes gay marriage and wants to provide funds to increase Italy's birth rate. Because Brothers of Italy wasn't part of Draghi's coalition government, that's given her quite an edge on the campaign. Italians worry about the rising cost of living, with inflation in June hitting 8.5%. And I think on a wider level, the snap election shows the volatility the war in Ukraine is having on the rest of Europe. If Meloni does get in, although initially she called for closer ties with Russia before the war, she's now said she wants to continue support the Ukraine, including sending arms. However, as you know, cost of living increases and winter bites, who knows how long that will go on for.
And moving on to the UK, a couple of weeks ago we spoke about Boris Johnson's resignation and the race to find a new leader. So who's left in the running now?
Yeah, it started with eight candidates and now it's down to two. So following Boris Johnson's unhurried resignation after the Chris Pincher scandal, the Conservatives announced a new leadership ballot. Several MPs put up their hand. It was initially looking like former Trade Secretary Penny Mordaunt and former Chancellor Rishi Sunak would be the final two. However, due to changing alliances and endorsements, Liz Truss edged out Penny Mordaunt for the remaining place. It's now become quite an open sledging match between the two factions as they try and secure votes by Conservative Party members. Rishi Sunak is trying to portray himself as a steadying force for a country in crisis, trying to be tough on inflation and ruling out tax cuts. Liz Truss, on the other hand, is claiming a tax cut is necessary to lighten the load on Brits affected by rising living costs. Loyalty to Boris Johnson is also playing a part, with Truss refusing to rule out working with him again. Both candidates support the Northern Ireland Protocol Bill, which puts them on a coalition course with the EU, with the bill having passed its third reading in the House of Commons. Polling is putting Liz Truss ahead amongst Conservative Party voters, and Truss is pushing hard on Brexit and is seen as a successor for Boris Johnson's policies, which is quite popular amongst the Tory party base. Expect more debates and media campaigns. The final vote will be done by Conservative Party members by post, with the results due to be announced by September 5.
And finally, I hear there's been a study announced in Belgium to see if pigs can dance.
Yeah, this is cool. So in Belgium, scientists will begin to study if pigs exposed to different types of music change their behaviour. This is according to a report by Reuters. So farmer Pete Pacemans noticed that pigs began to wag their tails when his son would sing to them. He then created a playlist to experiment with different types of music and noticed that dance music provided the most energetic reaction, and even claimed that the pigs started to dance around. Researchers have now secured €75,000 in funding from the EU and the Flanders region to investigate the claims and also to see if it could be used in other pig farms. Results are expected at the end of the year.
That was Anika speaking with our European correspondent Cameron Adams on this week's installation of Eurovision.
Macedonia with a reggae twist.
That was Eurovision on 95 BFM.
That was a 95 BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.